Let's pray together. God of love, we confess that the well of love in our souls sometimes run dry. Forgive our sin, fill us with your word, and open that spring of life in us that we may flow freely with your love for all the world. Speak to us, Jesus. Help us listen. Amen. A reading from Exodus. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink. Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. The word of life.
Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus spoke to her.
"Give me a drink."
"How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?"
Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans.
"If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would give you living water."
"Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?"
"Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life."
"Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
"Go, call your husband and come back."
"I have no husband."
"You are right in saying, 'I have no husband.' For you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you've said is true."
"Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem."
"Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship God neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. For this is the kind of worship Abba God seeks. God is spirit, and those who worship God must worship in spirit and truth."
I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us.
I am he, the one who is speaking to you.
Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She spoke to the people.
Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. Can this be the Messiah?
They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something."
"I have food to eat that you do not know about."
The disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat."
"My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to complete God's work."
Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony.
"He told me everything I have ever done."
So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world."
This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God.
She seems sometimes like a sort of strange, foreign, almost exotic, fictional character, this woman at the well. But you know what I think? I think you know her. I think we know her story better than we let on. Married and divorced 5 times. In that culture, women did not have the power to initiate either marriage or divorce. It's interesting to me how consistently growing up I've heard this story as if there's something wrong with that woman. She's some kind of tramp. She's not the one who married and divorced 5 times. She was a victim of 5 different men who picked her up and threw her away. We don't know why. Maybe she was just abused. Maybe she was really hard to live with. Maybe people just kept trying to give her a break and they just couldn't make it work. We don't know. Neither did Jesus. And he didn't care. I don't think you've been married and divorced 5 times. Nope. But I bet you've been disappointed 5 times. You've failed. You've watched something that you love fall apart and die, and there was nothing you could do to save it. I bet you've been brokenhearted 5 times. There are times when all of us feel like we're not quite sure whether we have what it takes. We doubt our own gifts, that we have anything to contribute to the world. There are times when we feel like losers. This woman came to the well at noon, which means she was at the very end of the pecking order. There's a pretty strict social stratification in a lot of these little Middle Eastern villages, even now to this day. And the privileged ones go early in the morning when the water is cool and fresh. And when your family needs it. And one by one, according to their status, all the women get food or water at the well until finally the last one arrives at noon when the water's mostly gone and what's left is warm and muddy and all junked up. She's an outcast. Whether or not her divorces were her fault, she's a loser and everybody knows it. And nobody wants to spend time with her. There are times when we feel that way. times when we doubt our place, times when we're pretty sure that we don't belong. All of us wrestle with this fear of really being ourselves, because we know if you really knew everything about me, you wouldn't like me. You'd think less of me. We all have those wounds that we carry with us. And Jesus regarded this woman not according to all those judgments, all those negative voices, all those social rules and boundaries. He reached through all of that and connected with her as a person, as an interesting person. In fact, he talked with her as if he was pretty sure that she was smart. They talked theology. They talked about the coming of the Messiah. He talked with her as if she were a person of faith. They talked about your relationship with God and the meaning of life and the wonder of eternal life and prayer, all that stuff. It's highly symbolic. It's condensed in this conversation, but it's all there. He knew there was something in her that was strong and powerful and beautiful. And something in her experience of him opened that up in her. And she did this amazing thing, starting with this little tiny detail. She left her water jug and she went back to the village as if she knew that she did not anymore need water. That thing that Jesus promised, that if you drink of the water that I give you, springs will gush up in you to water of eternal life. She drank of that water. She feasted on that. And something opened up in her, and she went back to that village where they hated her, where they had cast her out, where everybody thought she was a loser, where nobody would listen to her. Nobody wanted to spend any time with her. And she had a story to tell. And it was so full of the glory of God that they listened. And these Samaritans, of all people, came crowding back out in this big troop to see Jesus. She was the first Christian evangelist. And Jesus awakened that in her. You know what I think? I think you have something strong and beautiful and powerful inside you. And God knows better than all those voices that tell you that you don't have anything to offer, that you're not quite sure of your gifts, that you might not really have a place, that there's nothing you can do to make a difference in this world. And God comes to you and pushes all of that aside. You have in you an amazing story. You've met God. You probably haven't met God like you usually meet God in the movies with lots of special effects. You probably met God like the woman at the well did, when a stranger, a foreigner, an undocumented alien appeared before her, hungry and thirsty and tired and without a bucket, in absolute need and vulnerability, and reached out to her. You've probably experienced God not in that mountaintop kind of thing, but more likely an old woman who's slowly losing it at the nursing home, or a gay teenager who's afraid she just does not belong in this life, or somebody who's getting tired of their life not being all together and they don't know what to do about it. That's how the woman met God. You've met God. And you've experienced grace. You have been loved and given respect and gifts and nourishment despite all the mess-ups, despite all the wounds. You have been blessed. You have a story. You might not know it. You might not have thought about it. You might not have worked it over enough to the point that you could put words to it, that you could tell the story. But you should, because it's a really good story. And if you tell it, there will be people, Samaritans even, who will hear it and be changed. You have this grace in you. There is water in that rock. And sometimes the work of repentance in Lent is to repent of our shame and our self-doubt and all those voices around us that tell us that we don't have what it takes. You do. There is in you a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. And it's not just some feel good, oh, isn't that sweet, God likes you kind of energy. It's the energy to give that love and tell that story and shine that light for others. It's in you. And if you haven't heard the story yet, you just need to listen. So this Lent, we pray that Jesus will help us listen. Will you pray with me our Lenten breath prayer 3 times? Jesus, help us listen. Jesus, help us listen. Jesus, help us listen. Jesus, help us listen. God of grace, we thank you for the love that you give us that defeats everything that imprisons us. We pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.